This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is the Anfield wrap on the day Liverpool are sort of going to break their record transfer. Not quite, because add-ons make these things complicated these days. But it's an exciting time as ever to be a Liverpool supporter. They're all exciting times at the moment. We will be live in London on the 9th of July to look ahead to what could be a phenomenal season from a Liverpool point of view. A big man added to spearhead the Liverpool attack. Have I mentioned yet he is a big man? And that is part of what the whole thing is about. So come and see us in London in Hackney at on the 9th of July. Really looking forward to that. Download the app as well for more stuff about the big man and other associated issues all the way through Liverpool Football Club all the time. The Anfield Wrap app on Google Play or Apple Store. That is correct. Well done. With me, I've got Mike Kearney, I've got Paul Senior, I've got Ian Ryan to talk about. This could end up being Liverpool's transfer record, Ian Ryan. It's certainly the most we've ever spent on a forward. Liverpool's transfer record is Virgil van Dijk. It was at the time the most anyone had ever spent on a centre-half. Their number two signing of all time is Alisson Becker. It was at the time the most anyone's ever spent on a goalkeeper. Liverpool, when they move, they very much move these days. That appears to be a pattern.
Yeah, they're not messing about. It's good to see. I think, you know, it's another signal to us how important it is for this manager to get players in nice and early before pre-season. So I don't expect this to be the last one, Neil, in the coming weeks. I think he'll want them all in as quick as he possibly can. Obviously, you can't always, you know, get them over the line at the earliest opportunity, but that is a thing, I think, for Liverpool, especially when we know how much goes into pre-season. We know how much the manager holds a really good pre-season, I should say. So I think, yeah, really, really good addition. I think everything we've seen so far, we've not seen loads. I certainly haven't seen loads, but, you know, we've seen the little bits against us, all the reports, all the goals on YouTube and stuff. It all points to a really, really strong addition. And I think he's something a little bit different. You know, he is, you've mentioned there, he is a big man. You know, he's coming in at, 6'2", loads of goals. And I think Liverpool are just, again, looking to operate really smartly in the transfer market, where they're getting a footballer on the right trajectory, because he's had that big season last year where he seems to come alive. And I think it's 26 league goals, over 30 in all comps. You know, the season before that in Portugal, it's not quite kind of those levels. I think he only scores 6. He underperforms his XG. He overperforms it by about 7 last season. So it looks like they're really trying to be smart again and getting this footballer in just as it's about to go big numbers wise.
Trajectory is interesting, Mike, isn't it? You know, Liverpool, I think they pick the moments. They're smart with what they want and when they get them. Other ones that are, I think, worthy of remarking on are Fabinho and Keita. Keita gets deferred for a season, which I think frustrates Liverpool. But they get Fabinho in when they feel as though they need him as well. Another very, very, very big signing for the position, the most we've ever spent on a number six, for want of a better way to frame it. And Liverpool have got the what they expect. The other part of this, which is great, which got my attention as well, is a six-year deal. Liverpool, the manager will end up saying it, I think, a bit in the first half of the season. We haven't bought him for the first 3 months, we're buying him for 6 years. 6 years is one hell of a contract to give him.
Yeah, he's got that there, hasn't he? For Nunes, more than anything, really, because if he comes in and doesn't hit the ground, you know what the headlines are going to be. You know what the other fans are going to be saying. We're not soft. You know, we've never seen a bad Diaz this season, where he's been dropped in and played straight away. Robertson, Fabinho, they've all had time to get used to the system, to know what to do in training. So we all know what we might see. We all know what we hope. Like, we all hope that he hits the ground running and start banging the goals in the straight away. But if we don't, it's not like we're dry, are we? You know, we've got Diaz, we've got Salah, Jota. We've got all sorts of players that he's going to be bedding in with and learning how to play with, really. And at the age he's about to turn 23 soon.
Turns 23 in a few
days. We've got him for a large part of, with that 6-year deal being a thing now, which I think you'll see more of as football goes now, the way, you know, well, we've had Mane, haven't we, for 6 years, you'd say, this year if he leaves.
Yeah.
And Salah will end up doing 6 years if he leaves on a free in the summer, which I hope he doesn't, but if he does, you're starting to see people do see the contracts out, and if we can get someone to sign for a 6-year period of what you expect Nunes to end up being. You know, obviously we've seen him twice this season, and he's committed. You know, he's had battles with Konate, he's had battles with Virgil. He knows what he's coming into, and he's also, that's his training now. It's not, he's never going to play against as good a defender again. He's never going to play against as good a line again. He scores loads of goals offside against us, doesn't he? And you know, we've got one of the best lines in Europe, so I fancy us to really see what we hope. I think I'm not going to put numbers out there for him. He'll have that in his own head, but you know, he's going to score goals this season, and he's going to score a lot of them because he's going to get a lot of chances.
The position and the expectations on the footballer, Paul, I think is really interesting. His numbers around, you know, Benfica, with two exceptions, every time they step onto the pitch in Portugal, they're the best side. So someone's got to put those teams to the sword.
Mm-hmm.
For us, you know, every time we play a Premier League game, with the exception of playing Manchester City home and away and maybe Chelsea away, we're the best side. The expectations are that we go and do the bits and pieces. So trying to position the expectations on the football that I think is a little bit difficult, but he's done that job. He's had the idea of, well, I'm playing for the side who are superior every single time we step onto the pitch, apart from when we play Porto or Sporting. That's where we are. And then this season he's gone and got the goals. Liverpool, my point here is that Liverpool are buying someone who knows how to be a flat track bully. He's just been one, and that's what we actually need.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the experience of that in Portugal will help him, and we've seen that players from Portugal can hit the ground running, and that's encouraging for me, because I think the quality across some of the leagues in Europe at the moment isn't as great. And when you're seeing players from Portugal come in and have an impact already, then it gives you a little bit more belief in the signing, doesn't it? But My big concern is obviously who he's replacing in Sadio Mane, and that's that's the biggest pressure on him, I feel, because obviously there's, for me, one of the best players in the world leaving the club, so it's big shoes to fill, and that's the pressure Nunes gets. And my concern for the summer, and I'm surprised this hasn't been how it is that we've actually gone out and done this deal, and it's nice to see that you say that is what Liverpool seems to be about now. You know, where, okay, Sadio's leaving, and we're going to go and spend €100 million.
Do you think Diaz? So my thing is, I think he replaces Salah. In the way Liverpool will view their football, I think he replaces Salah. So I think Jota replaces Firmino. And I'm not, it doesn't have to be literally in the same position. This isn't what I mean. My point is, my argument is, I still expect, as I've expected every year since he arrived, Liverpool's top scorer, come the end of the season, will be Salah.
Mm-hmm.
I now expect, with the exception of the first 8 games of his first season, I now expect, not this season necessarily, but next season, 2023-2024, Liverpool's top scorer will be Darwin Nunes. That's what I expect, if you sort of know what I mean. So forget literally the roles. I sort of wonder if Diaz is there to replace Mane. That's already done. And Liverpool are just sort of one step ahead with this. Jota's replacing Firmino. And here's, and not say they're the same footballer, but they're going to end up doing similar sort of things.
I think it's important to have that evolution of the team in mind. These guys are, you know, the greatest failing of any successful managers when they never change the team. You know, I think even when Alex Ferguson left Manchester United, he left them in a bit of a mess. You know, buys Robin Van Persie as a short-term sign, and where Jürgen Klopp's just signed for another 4 years, and he's going, okay, well, I've had my worth out of Mo, Bobby, and Sadio. So what comes next? And if that's, you know, Diaz, Nunes, and maybe Jota, or maybe another that's still yet to come to the club, then, you know, then that's great. But he needs to start building his second team at Liverpool, and it seems like that is what he's doing pretty well. But what we're seeing at other clubs, namely Real Madrid, is that there's integration with
the older player and the younger player, and that's proven to be a really good model there. So, you know, if you're Camavinga and you're learning from Tony Cruz or Casemiro, yep, then that's good. You know, if it's going to be Tchouaméni for them knocking around with Luka Modric, great. Benzema for Vinicius or
Rodrigo,
any of these lads. It's a great model that Real Madrid have sort of put forward, and they suffered for a few years trying to integrate that. And now the European champions, I say suffers, they've won, I don't know, in the Champions League, but they haven't been like swashbuckling all conquering Real Madrid, even though they've managed to somehow get so many European Cups. But for Liverpool, from our position, I think it's refreshing to see us go, because I worried going into the summer when it started turning the Mane's going to go. I was like, well, you've got Jota and you've got Diaz and you've still got Mo for the year, and then they've bought Cavalho. Will that do, and maybe to just keep holding him in the and we get through? Because we've been guilty of that, I think, in the past, and they haven't. They've gone to the well. They spent €100 million, and there we go.
I think what we're seeing, Ian, is this sort of constant evolution. You know, Carvalho, for instance, could end up replacing, you know, or having a lot of similar attributes to Firmino himself. I've mentioned Jota there as well. There is this, for me, I feel as though this guy could be the final replacement for the front three, even though, you know, Salah is still here. We have to work on, and so is Firmino for that matter. You know, I don't think it's nailed on that Firmino goes next summer. I think he may well end up being in a James Milner situation where he gets offered deals that he might not want to accept or might choose over a period of time to accept. I mean, do we have to work on the basis that Salah goes next summer? Regardless, I think this is constant evolution. I think the thing we know is Liverpool aren't prepared to change the wage structure and the wage culture for Mohamed Salah. That's now absolutely crystal clear, and I'll come background onto that. But my point is more, this is constant evolution. Diaz turns 26 in January, Jota 26 in December, Nunes is 23 in a few days. The manager's contract, as Paul's just said, runs till 2026. It's reasonable to expect all these players, the three I've just mentioned, plus Carvalho, to still be Liverpool players in the season 2024-2025. You know, this is clearly the next phase of what this manager's doing.
Yeah, it's succession planning, and you've got to do that. I mean, the challenge of Manchester City is not going away. So Liverpool have got to be smart. We know we can't necessarily compete with them financially, but we can't. So we have to be a little bit smarter and a little bit cuter. And I think, you know, this signing points to that, Neil, I think. I think what gives me real comfort is, and there's been a lot of chat about, you know, how good is Nunes, and I don't think we'll actually know until you start to see him in a Klopp team. But they get so many of these signings right now. The hit rate's unbelievable, to be honest. It's really difficult to think of signings, and there's not many that have come into the club in the last 4 or 5 years and not really added value. So I think from that kind of point of view, you are really thinking this player is going to add something. And, you know, you've even got to, if you think back to how Klopp described them after we played Benfica, and I think, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, but it was something along the lines of, he's going to have one hell of a career if he stays healthy. And it just so happens that career is going to be the best part of it with Liverpool Football Club and under this manager as well, which is even better. So I think, you know, that gives me loads of kind of food for thought, really, about just where they see this player in the next kind of 2, 3, 4 years. You know, how good is he going to become? And I think it's always interesting how your peers talk about you as well. And I think there's been a lot of chat from other kind of real senior Uruguayan footballers, and they've had a real kind of talent pipeline. By the way, for the country under 4 million, how they keep producing top centre forward. You know, you go back to the mid-90s when Recoba kind of came on the scene, and then there's Forlan and there's Cavani. I think he modelled his game on a little bit from what I've read, and obviously there's Suarez as well.
Who plays with him has compared him to a combination of Cavani and Torres. That's what Tarap.
Yeah, which you can see, to be honest. There was something online I saw last night comparing some of Torres' goals to his goals, and you know, there is a likeness in terms of how he finishes. I think the work rate and the ethic, he's certainly taken some of that from Cavani. But all those three I've mentioned, Forlan, Cavani and Suarez, at some point in the recent kind of past, they've all championed them to clubs that they've played for. So Cavani was very front foot and telling Man United they should be looking at this footballer because he's that good. Suarez, similar with Barcelona. I think if your peers are saying that about you and talking you up in those terms, there's obviously a player there that is about to really hit heights. And I think, you know, we've seen a little bit of that. There's glimpses, as I say, the Anfield stuff where I thought he was good. You know, he causes one or two problems over at their place as well. But there's real signs that this is one hell of a footballer that we've got our hands on. As for the Mo Salah stuff, still think it's up in the air, Neil. I don't think we know yet. I think, you know, the next few weeks, few months are going to be interesting. You know, Mo's put out there what he wants. it doesn't appear that the club are willing to budge too much on that front.
I think we're seeing this well with the 6-year contract. Liverpool are more than willing to just go, all right, this might be your only contract that you have. And we're seeing this with a couple of players now where you see where Keita's arriving to, and, you know, Salah himself, Gini Wijnaldum.
Emre Can, Firmino.
There's a few of these where you go, this is your contract. We'll happily spread that transfer fee out over these next 6 years. If you want to sign another contract, it'll be on our terms, or you go at the end of it. And it's interesting when the initial FSG model that we were all pitched was that they will buy low, sell high. Well, it's buy reasonable on low wages, and if they want to sign, they sign, but we will not break our structure for them. And I think that is that the application of that is the most salad. And it's, or I think you're seeing in this contract for Nunes that that might even apply for him on day one, you know. So I think Liverpool are ahead in these contracts and player value games, because we've been talking over the last couple of days, Neil, about who's up. And I think once a player's got you within the 2-year radar and your contract, 2 years, not even a year, I think you're in big trouble. And there's some, I think the footballers are now seeing, obviously Mbappe being the leading light in signing on fees. Well, rather than that money going in a transfer fee, that can come to me, and the power will all stay with me. But I think Liverpool are resisting that, and they're buying very, very well young. And, you know, Ian touched on it there. Our success rate in the transfer market is absolutely unbelievable. I can't remember the last time we signed a bad player. So I think the power is we find players in Portugal. We don't have to go for the obvious choice. It doesn't have to be Mbappe. It doesn't have to be Haaland. We've gone from the Portuguese league, and I think we'll be proved right again with this one.
I think the thing with that is we need to... Jürgen Klopp always says about the system being the best player. We go back to that with Coutinho, don't you? He loves him and he fits him in, and he wants him to stay and says, look, stay here and we'll build a statue of you. Go somewhere else and you'll just be another player. And Barcelona was always a dream, so you can't really hold it against him. If he wants to go to Barcelona, he went, but we got the best money we could, and then we went and gone and got Alisson and Van Dijk with that. And the fact that they're the best players in their position helps Liverpool, but the fact that they come in and help the system. You see Fabinho when he was missing a couple of times through the last season, you know, the midfield, when the midfield was covering for the defence, the system broke down. When the system's not there, the team's not as good, even though you've still got Mohamed Salah playing last season, you know, still scores goals when the chance presents to them. When the system's breaking down, everyone's like, but where are we here? So there's no, as much as I will miss Sadio, if and when he does confirm his move this summer, I've got more faith now with going forward with this, maybe Nunes, you know, with Diaz. We've seen the evidence of it, but from the FSG point of view, you've got to be good at future-proofing, and you've got to be good at it, because you can't say we're doing this model high up, you know, absolutely no matter what we're doing, we're sticking to this model. You'd have to be successful to do it, and, you know, thankfully for us, they are, and they've got the best of everything in place, best manager, best, you know, right the way down to nutritionist. This whole club is functioning on that. We do our best and everything else will come into place, and that's where we are at the minute, and it's boss to be a part of, really.
It's boss to be a part of, Paul. I'll come back to you on this wages cultural point, which I think is one of the conclusions you're being able to draw from everything that we're seeing. It isn't that Liverpool don't have, you know, a very big wage bill. If you go back to 2022, they've got the second highest come the end of the season, second only to Manchester City. 2021, obviously, I'm getting these figures from Swiss Ramble. They are, by that point, they're down to fourth, but this is back to the idea of an incentivised contract. So they're a little bit behind Manchester United, who are themselves a teeny bit, 3% behind Chelsea. Manchester City, 3.55 at the top of that, having been 3.51 the year before. My point here is that in those numbers, you get to see a couple of things. One is that Liverpool's wage bill is competitive with the other four established Champions League sides, allowing for Manchester United to fall from grace. But the other thing that's interesting in it is, simultaneously, you can see just in those little shifts how incentivised Liverpool's contracts are. And it feels as though this culture of, firstly, there's huge parity between the top six or seven earners. They're very, very close together. They're all on around sort of 200 grand a week, if we believe the published figures. there appears to be Liverpool's wage structure doesn't, what I'm trying to beginning to drive at and what I'm beginning to sort of realise is that Liverpool's wage structure isn't just a financial structure. It feels as though it's also a cultural one. We all win together, and if we don't win, then we all suffer that together.
That's clear as day for me. And I think that's where the issue lies. When I think it's become apparent over the last few weeks that we had genuine interest in Kylian Mbappe. Genuine, like, we're at the table for him. Maybe not as hard as what Real Madrid were, but Real Madrid would have signed Kylian Mbappe, well, felt at all costs, and PSG pretty much did re-sign Kylian Mbappe at all costs. Liverpool were never, ever, ever going to do that. So if you want to buy into this sporting project, great, but there's no disparity really between... There is obviously disparity in the earners, but I think all those on the top money are at a pretty similar level, and even if it's, you know, if Fabinho and Mo Salah are within 70 grand of each other, then fine. But if Fabinho and Kylian Mbappe are within 700 grand of each other, then there's a big cultural issue, isn't there, within the club? So Liverpool, what do you say, the fourth top? Fourth
last season it was fourth. This season there's every chance it'll be higher than that because they won the two cups, came second and got the two finals. They got the final. There's also a chance that the actual bonuses are paid linked not to whether or not you win the league, but they might be linked to your points haul come the end of the season. I think there's every, you know, we all just think the metrics will be a win bonus thing, but I think there's every chance they're much more complex than that for individual players. So we won't know this year. One of the things, this is always a difficult conversation, is you're always a year behind.
Yeah,
and it's also worth saying that I think of the top six, it wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool's contract to the most incentivised, but that doesn't mean Manchester City's contracts aren't also incentivised as well. You've got to not get carried away. We don't get to see the fine print, but there's, you know, that's why it wouldn't surprise me if this season, for instance, I mean, United have gone out and put the huge outlay in at the start of the campaign on, for instance, Ronaldo. So United might still be up there. They might outstrip Liverpool, but I wouldn't think it'd be by much because Liverpool's players play every game, win two trophies and are one game away from winning four. So I think that'll be reflected in the overall eventual wage bill.
I mean, they're paying the goalkeeper 400 grand a week. You know, and I imagine Ronaldo is well in excess of that. So, you know, that's a problem for Manchester United. And if you're Erik ten Hag, that's maybe one you're looking to address over your first 18 months, 2 years at the club. But for Liverpool, I think it's really smart, the model that they're adopting. I think it works because, again, Ian's point from earlier, when you're signing players from other leagues across Europe that aren't the obvious targets, and you're finding Luis Diaz's. And even Mo Salah was this sort of signing, wasn't he? He's not now. We've made Mo Salah to be Mo Salah, you know, Player of the Year, Ballon d'Or contender. What Sadio Mane the same? You know, if we keep doing that, then we don't have to get into this 500-600 grand a week category because the scouting's better. And we're getting players who are on 30, 40 grand a week in their leagues and going, all right, we'll treble your wages, and trebling your wages is great for everyone, you know.
Yeah.
So, but if you're trying to treble, I don't know, a Declan Rice's wages or one of these, Declan Rice's will be the top earner at West Ham, an established Premier League club. You've got problems trebling them wages.
I think as well, I mean, it does not make it easy when you're very, very competitive in all competitions and you're going on all fronts, and actually you can say to the player, you're going to get well looked after. You may not get Real Madrid money or Man City money, but you're going to get well looked after. And by the way, there's a good chance you're going to be in the last four of the Champions League pretty much most seasons. You know, take COVID out of it, for instance, Liverpool are there and competing a lot of the time in the Champions League latter stages, and you're going to be challenging for league titles as well. It's a great sell because I think everything that comes out of the club, and, you know, people like Henderson and Milner talk about this a lot, the culture, the attitude of all the players, and it is all the players by all accounts, you know, there's no bad eggs in there. And I think, you know, having that right culture is really important. So some of that will come down to the kind of money aspect. You know, Paul mentioned there the kind of De Gea stuff. I mean, that must cause absolute chaos at United, because as soon as someone comes in, and if it is Ronaldo or someone else of a similar kind of stature,
I think he's great. I wish we bought him last summer. I still won't, you know, I'm not going to go back on the fact that I think he'd be a real addition to Liverpool. But suppose that he's walking in asking for 300, 375 a week, and he's won nothing.
No,
you know what I mean? Dortmund, he's won nothing. He's a really exciting player, but he's able to say, well, I'll take 300 grand a week because you're paying that.
Yeah, he'll feel like he can have that conversation and legitimately have it because the goalkeeper's getting 400k. So I think, you know, Paul mentions the Mbappe stuff there, and I think it was quickly put to bed that listen, Liverpool aren't doing the job if they're not interested in killing Mbappe. That they've got to be having or wanting a conversation. But as soon as the numbers get to where the numbers probably end up, they've got to be sensible about it. You know, the manager was very front foot about Haaland. He said, we're not going to be interested. We're not going to be involved in that because they must have got whiff of the numbers. We're going to be insane. And therefore, you know, listen, obviously you'd like a Haaland at your club because he looks absolutely stellar. But, you know, Liverpool have got to be thinking more about than just the actual footballer. They've got to be thinking about that cultural piece as well. And that's what they've been able to get right. And everything points to, as I said before, they may well have got another one over the line here who's about to hit really, really good numbers.
Likely ramifications, Mike. Sadio Mane's been mentioned already. Taki Minamino looks as though he could be on his way. What I would point out to is that the likely fees for the two of these is likely to be in the vicinity of about 75% of the upfront, not the staggered payments, but the upfront Nunes fee. But realistically, I mean, and despite all of Minamino's heroics last season, they are two footballers in two different categories where Liverpool's concerned, don't get me wrong, but it does look as though both of them will be playing the trade somewhere else next season. Mane almost certainly by Munich. Minamino doesn't appear to be short of suitors.
No, and I don't begrudge Minamino if I want the move. If he sort of wanted it, then, you know, hats off to him. He's been a part of what it was, a historic season for Liverpool. And he can go, and whether he stays in the Premier League or not, he can go and play his trade and be a good footballer for another team. The Mane one's probably a bit hard to take because we know what level he is, but it's easier to take when we've been so proactive. And you know, there's questions about what do we do from here. We pretty much know how a Liverpool Jurgen Klopp team plays. 9 times out of 10, it's 4-3-3, but we will change now and again. But the Nunes thing coming in and being 6-2 and strong gives us more options to be more flexible. Round, you know, we also lost Divock Origi this summer, and he was probably our most, you'd say, number nine.
Most conventional.
You know, I remember the goal against Everton where, you know, he set up for Robinson. It comes off him holding the ball up in the box off his chest. And he gives it back to Salah, I think, and it's a think back post, and we score. That's what we probably start seeing more of with Nunes, the evolution going forward, maybe. So, as much as we are losing sort of numbers, potentially, we need to start looking at more, doing more business, obviously, going forward. We've lost Taki, we've lost Divock, and Sadio's going, but has potentially already been replaced. It's not. Us as fans are seeing this as a summer, and I think you mentioned it before, Liverpool are looking 12-18 months down the line. So what we're seeing now is Nunes coming in, you know, they've probably already got something lined up for someone in midfield, whether it's Bellingham, whether it's somebody else, for when, you know, Milner eventually retires. Henderson's 31, Thiago's in his 30s now. You know, Paul mentioned before the Real Madrid thing, we sort of are doing that, as we are. Canate comes in at 22 and, you know, is playing next to Virg and Matip. You know, Gomez has had a bit of a rebirth, hasn't he, from this season, coming out right back. This squad is perfectly balanced at the minute, and to keep it so, we need to be clever and act like we are. And, you know, as long as we keep doing that, we'll keep having the nights that have attracted Nunes when we've knocked on the door. Apparently, he's had a bit of a chat to Klopp that's persuaded him, because there will have been clubs knocking around. We know United have been interested, but you're not telling me that Chelsea weren't looking or Tottenham weren't looking.
I don't imagine there's much persuading a player from Benfica to come to Liverpool at the moment. I think the sort of feel-good factor around Liverpool for the last few years is felt across the... I know in domestically everyone loves to have a snipe, but I think I felt this in Paris when I was there. You know, I felt the positivity towards us as a football club from the PSG supporters or whatever that you bumped into around the ground and other European ways. Even if you're just in a taxi with a taxi driver and you talk that you're a Liverpool fan, it was all positive. But the thing I was going to say is I think that the issue with obviously has been so successful so far under the Klopp era is that you have to start saying goodbye to some footballers, and that's where we're at with Sadio. You know, you've got all these memories of him winning, well, everything, and I think that's the hardest bit. And it's pretty new for us as a, you know, especially most people in this room, you know, that they're living through their first successful generation, but I think...
Well, it's continually successful. It's not like when Torres goes and you've just had Hodgson and you've just got massive uncertainty. Yeah. It's,
you've had a season, or you've had a bit of a purple patch. Well, this isn't a purple patch. This is where we are as a...
It's the reality.
No, it's the reality where we are. And, you know, there's going to be players on sort of farewell tours. And if you have to say goodbye to Mo Salah next year, that'll be equally as tough as saying goodbye to Sadio. You know, but I think the other problem that you get from this is you can't hold it against footballers when they've come in, they've done what they come here to do. Is I want to win everything. All right, well you've done that. All right, well maybe I do need. You understand their desire for a new challenge, and if Salah feels the same or whatever, then fine.
And a new challenge, and possibly, and I'm not saying this is a disparaging at all. If Mane is going to get offered $100,000 a week to play for Bayern Munich than Virgil van Dijk gets to play for Liverpool,
yeah,
then I'm absolutely fine with that. I'd be absolutely fine if Sadio Mane came out and said that. I'd go, yeah, that's understandable, mate. It's your last big contract of your career, by all means. If Liverpool have got their model and they're not prepared to break their model for you, but Bayern Munich can accommodate you earning $100,000 a week more than Virgil van Dijk and we're not prepared to do it, all the best.
Yeah, I get it. I'm always going to say completely respect it. I'm not sure I completely respect it, but I understand it, you know. So yeah, that's fine. I think this is the world we live in, really, isn't it? You look at these footballers and go, they're uber wealthy. It's fine. But I was listening to one of the golfers in the week, and they were talking about, well, I'm a 40-year-old golfer here, and I'm getting offered 4, 5, 6 times the money that I'm getting on the PGA Tour. Then yeah, I'm old. Of course I'm going. So it's sort of understandable. I think the good thing is, though, and this is the upside of this is, you go, when players used to leave Liverpool, I didn't used to understand it because I was blinded by love. And I remember for Mascherano, I was heartbroken when he went. And then I remember he does like a press conference the day he leaves Barcelona, and behind him is everything he's won. And I went, you know, it's me 6, 7 years more mature at the time as well. My toys were back in the pram. And I went, well, I completely understand this move. Well, you don't have to do that now, because when Sadio Mane leaves and Darwin Nunes comes in, you can go, hey, yeah, look, we're all alive. 1 year, you go and do the same. You know, and that's a big sell for any player coming into the club.
Yeah, and I think it matters when the players leave as well. So I think if Sadio Mane was 26 or 27... and his best years were still ahead of him, he'd be thinking, not great that. If Liverpool aren't willing to pay the money and he's still got some of his best years, you're thinking, is that the right move? But when you look at a player, and listen, I'm not saying players have finished at 30, but there's no doubt in my mind Liverpool have had his best years. And I want Sadio Mane to stay, by the way. I wanted him to stay. You know, you're less concerned now because you've brought in a shiny new toy, and that's literally how these things tend to work. I think the other selling points to the players as well, which is really important. So you can talk about, yeah, we'll look after you financially. We'll look after you from a competitive point of view because we'll be in for the big trophies, but we'll also make you better. We'll make you better. You'll be a better player. There's loads and loads of case studies where you come into this club, you're at a certain level. Guess what? This manager makes you better. He takes you to another level. You want to be better? Come and work for him. So there's that as well. Everyone wants to be better. You want to reach new levels. You want to reach new heights. You can do it under this guy because he's got a track record of turning players into superstars on his watch. So, that's literally what he does.
So Ian, with, for instance, you mentioned there, Divock's gone. Minamino almost certainly going. Mane almost certainly going. So is this five, Firmino, Salah, and then the three who are, you know, look like they're going to be brought through, Jota, Nunes and Diaz, plus Carvalho and Gordon, the rumours about Carvalho, is that the right balance going into this season as far as you're concerned? There's the senior five, then you've got Carvalho, then you've got Gordon. I think you do have to put them in two different categories given the age. But Gordon, it's worth remembering, I always say he starts the League Cup semi-final second leg at Arsenal. Liverpool have obviously got a fair bit of trust for this lad up to a point. You know, I think we might see a little bit more Gordon this season. Do you think that's the balance that pushes through this season?
Yeah, I think sitting here right now, that feels absolutely fine to me. You've got five senior players for, what, three positions, and you're backed up by the two young lads as well.
Harvey Elliott, potentially, you can do.
I mean, I actually think I'd like to see Elliott more withdrawn because I think it suits his skill set. You know, the fact that he's not maybe kind of got that blister and pace and stuff, I think it's quite good to maybe see him slightly further back. But, you know, they'll play about with Dan. He may end up further forward over time. I think Carvalho's interesting because I don't quite know his level, and I think it's hard to ascertain it because he's been operating in the Championship. But again, the numbers look good for me. Getting him in, really, really good age in the team of the year for the Championship. Don't expect to see loads and loads of them. But I think the other five that you've mentioned, that feels that feels perfectly fine for me. I think they will have to have an eye on Firmino's injury record because he does seem to be missing more and
more games. Starts to just be one of them when he just picks them up here and there.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want it to be just after four because that maybe then feels a bit light over the course of a season which is going to be incredibly kind of crammed. You know, you've talked about it loads, Neil, that first part of the season. You know, to get all the Champions League games out of the way, what is it, early November, they're all done and dusted.
Yeah.
So you're playing pretty much every 3 days from the kickoff. So it's going to test one or two. But I think what else they can point to over this season is they're quite good at correcting some of that. So they've done it with Matip, where they've got him right, you know, after a number of seasons where he's been hit by injuries. And actually, it feels like they've made a bit of a shift with Keita as well in terms of fitness. It certainly felt like he was available far more last season than he has been in previous years. So I'm sure they'll be working on stuff with Firmino to get him fit and ready. But that, for me, feels like a good five.
you said there, Ian, you don't think you'll see loads of Cavallo. I actually think you will see loads of Cavallo.
I'm talking about starting. No, maybe see him off the bench and stuff.
Well, I think five subs is going to be is the big change for the season. And I think if you're talking about flat track bullies as you were earlier, Neil, I think if Liverpool get 2 or 3 nil up in this season, the maddest, you know, obviously the World Cup being at Christmas time is it's never happened in my lifetime. This never happened before. So it's new. So there's some players are going to get a real rest, but. So you can really run some players, I think, I mean, in terms of starts. Now, so Salah could start every game between now and Christmas and then have an equivalent pre-season to the one he's getting now, you know. So, but I think if you see Liverpool get to 3-0 up, that's when you're going to start seeing your Cavallos and your Kate Gordons and stuff, at home to Brentford, Liverpool 3-0 up on 60, OK, all off. Keep them fresh to go because you've got another game, as you say, in 3 days' time, which I want you ready for to go and blitz them in 60. I think there's going to be a lot of that from Liverpool and City this season.
There is, therefore, you know, where we end up here, Mike, is they're all in for pre-season, as Ian said before. That feels like it's important to the manager in sorting out his attacking sense. Other movements, you know, I've talked about a couple of outs there with Divock going, Mane and Minamino. There'll be a couple of others maybe to go as well. They might still be looking at a midfielder. The right back from Aberdeen looks closer, keeps making more noise. You think he'll be in for pre-season as well. So allowing for the fact that Nunes goes through, allowing for the fact that Ramsey from Aberdeen looks as though it'll happen, are you expecting them to do anything else?
I think they do need to do a midfielder, but mainly for future-proofing, really. And the fact that we've got two contracts coming up in the same summer, Keita and Chamberlain, who I think Chamberlain probably moves this summer, to be honest. Although, you know, he gets 29 appearances or something like that, only 20 yep. plus appearances last season, just gone. So I think that's the position now we'll be mainly focusing on. I think there'll be conversations around for me, you know, in terms of future. Maybe give him a year or two extension and see how he goes this season.
I think the injuries this season are going to be completely defined on whether or not they offer Firmino another deal.
Yeah.
And it'll just be year by year at that point as well.
Yeah. I think with Firmino as well, you've probably got a player who's absolutely, you know, acceptable of that situation as well. I seen something the other day which took me by surprise, considering he's, you know, he's the original front three, he's in with Mane and Salah. He's actually second in Klopp's time over it, goals and assists yeah. combined, which is frightening when you think about how he got criticised for not scoring enough goals. He's actually second in that list of three players. Phenomenal. So hopefully the injuries aren't too impactful and he can be there while we progress going forward. But yeah, I going back to the what would you expect, I don't expect a massive surprise. Like, I don't think they go and do a Bellingham. Financially probably massively doesn't work.
And also Dortmund themselves with the fact that they've let Haaland go.
Do you know what, though? We say that. I think the money we're bringing in for Neil, we've been doing these transfer committee shows and whatnot. I think, because as you said, you're bringing 70-75% of the value of Nunes in. There's got to be some money knocking around the club.
There will be.
I think if the right target's available, I can only see a world and where Liverpool go for them. I don't, you know, did I think Darwin Nunes on the last day of the season was a target for Liverpool? No, but I didn't. Obviously, we weren't fully aware of the Mane situation. There was murmurs at that time, but I think Liverpool need another midfielder. I think that's almost certain.
We've probably collected a lot of wages as well. Don't forget that, the outs going out there. You know, Mane's pretty much being replaced by Nunes, so that's fine. And then you lose Divock's wages, which I don't know. You think
James Milner's took a contract reduction. There's and then if you do lose Oxlade-Chamberlain, Minamino, even lads like now Phillips off the wage bill and a transfer fee in for them and whatnot, it adds up to being able to go again, I feel.
And I could make an argument for Bellingham and saying, look, he's young and do it now, because after the World Cup he might go even bigger in terms of price.
See, I think, Mike, and this is back to the fact that these contracts these days, it's not just this is how much you get in a week. It really wouldn't surprise me if there's a Haaland-esque Bellingham clause after doing so many seasons at Dortmund that Liverpool are able to, in the same way that, City have ended up paying loads out in agent fees, don't get me wrong, but Haaland has the transfer fee is agreed in the contract, and it really wouldn't surprise. Grealish had that last season with City, where he agreed the transfer fee in with Villa. Not least because I actually think it suits clubs and players, the club who currently owns the player and the player themselves, to say if someone just pays this price, you're gone.
I don't know with Bellingham, but he's obviously a great footballer. I don't understand why everyone's convinced that we're front of the queue for him, because it just like it for me it feels like a Haaland example. Of course he's good, but he feels like the sort of transfer fee and wages the minute he lights up, that is going to be similar to the Haaland move, and that Liverpool don't go anywhere near. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some lad knocking around a Fiorentina who does all the same, same sort of numbers, and Liverpool just go, well, actually, it's going to be half the price, half the wages, and we can get a similar output.
I think we do two over 2 years, though. That's the point. I think we'll do one this summer and one next. I think we'll do one midfielder this summer and one next.
I think they need to do that. I think the point's being made about getting one in now, I think's right. I think if you look at the midfield, and there's not many areas of weakness in this Liverpool squad, but I do think they could do with another quality one in the middle of the park, just to supplement what they've got. And I think your point then about to do another one next year, I think it's also right, because you've then got Henderson and Thiago another year older, to the point where you're thinking, well, maybe their best year, certainly Henderson's, maybe could be behind them come next year, in terms of what you've asked them to do over a number of years.
He
the legs may start to go a little bit. Yeah, I think so. And I think Henderson has a bit of an unusual season, I think. I think there was
plays
times
a lot of games, though.
He does play a lot of games. Yeah. And I actually think he gets better. I think first half of the season, there was times I was looking at him thinking, you look a little bit below your best, Jordan. There was outliers, don't get me wrong, Old Trafford, Goodison Park. But over the first part of the season, he just looked a little bit below his normal levels. But then, towards the end of the campaign, he's really getting Liverpool, firing, and he's adding lots and lots of value and stuff. So I think they will have an eye on one this summer, one next summer. I think it's important they do that, because, again, back to the amount of games, Liverpool has the midfielders do an awful lot of work. I think they do need another one in there.
That's why I think with the number of games, I genuinely expect, and I think that you can actually at times make the pros arguments for Henderson in the position. And I actually think there's an interesting little analysis of the final where I think Real Madrid are quite happy for Fabinho to have the ball because they don't think he's going to hurt them. When you watch the game back, there's a lot of them sort of being, they block off Fabinho's options rather than close Fabinho. And we've seen Fabinho get harried in a few games, but it's interesting Madrid go the other way. They block off the options and the route out for him and just sort of say, well, where are you going to go? I think there might be a lot of Henderson at six, and the idea that it helps, it protects Fabinho, it protects Henderson, that the two of them share that role this season, especially because the games come so thick and fast. But if you do that, you've got a question as to who's playing your right-hand side of your three.
I think Nunes might unlock a bit of Fabinho's passes, because he's got, I remember at some point he's got like this mad, like nice through ball, quite direct through the middle, and we haven't really had like a big...
No, he's not been able to hit that, has
so
he? Yeah.
He'll have that now. If next time we come up against Madrid and he's got that space, he might just be able to go, well, sound, I'll put him on his chest.
Put over there. But I think that's what you'll see. But I think if you do that, and certainly if Chamberlain's going, and I think you've got a big decision to make around Keita, and there might be an offer that comes in for Keita if he's only got a year left, and that's going to put it on Liverpool's toes. But I think you've got to add a midfielder this summer. I'm not saying...
Do you think they take one for Keita if a decent one comes in?
I think if a decent one comes in, I think they would, but then there'd be even more. And what they might then end up doing is riding Chamberlain out and just saying, well, you're doing the year with us, and we'll let you go on free.
One of them goes and one is almost forced to stay. I don't know.
But I think they'd be reluctant to let Keita's contract ebb. I think Keita's the only one, Paul, where I think they're in complete control of what's been going on with Mane and Salah and Firmino, the contracts they do last summer. I think they're happy enough with the Chamberlain situation. I feel, and I could be wrong, and it might be that they're listening to this somewhere saying, what the fuck does this prick know? But I feel Keita's the only one they're not entirely in control of.
Yeah,
I think,
because
they've not really been able to make a decision to back him because he's not put the performances quite in as you'd like, but he's shown all the potential at times. So I think Keita's the one where they're a little out of control of with his...
Yeah, his age is a little bit different as well.
Exactly, he's 27. Yeah.
So there's still value in them, and there's still...
He's 27 now, sorry, yeah.
There's still potential for him to get better. Where we're talking about Sadio.
The best years could still be ahead of him.
Could definitely, yeah. So, I mean, you wouldn't want to get into a position with Naby Keita this year, where he's the a leading light for Liverpool, and then all of a sudden he's out of contract come June. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if something happens there. I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see Liverpool do a midfield. And I think the main thing that stands out for me is the age of Thiago, Henderson, obviously Milner. The you're in a risky territory there, if you, especially in this season of all seasons. I think Liverpool front loaded with their front line from January. I think it was smart. They knew the impact of AFCON and whatnot. That was on the players, and doing Diaz then was smart. I think that they could potentially go, all right, we're gonna front load midfield for this season and see maybe two walk out the door next season. One almost certainly being Milner in a capacity, and maybe it's one of the Kaiser or Chamberlain who stick around.
I think the other side on that though is that it isn't just when you say the ages of Henderson, Milner, Thiago, pull Fabinho out of it for a minute. You know, I feel as though it's also literally the ages of Jones and Elliot. Like, I think they probably quite like to have a lad in there who's 24, and that's what they haven't got there. And, you know, Keita's now, he's 27 at the time as we're going through this. I think Chamberlain's 28. Fabinho, I think, is 28. And then you've got Henderson, Milner and Thiago in the 30s, Milner deep into his 30s. I think that they probably quite like to have had one who was 24 right now, and that might be what they go and recruit. And it might not be someone who's going to revolutionise the position. I think there's every chance they go and buy a fourth choice centre mid, if you know what I mean. I think there's every chance, if there was a final, the lad the next buy in the position.
So where Jota is almost that, and that, I think that's true as well. So when we were doing that, the transfer committee, I was looking across the list of targets, and players like Bissouma stood out because they were Premier League experience. It's similar to where you were with Wijnaldum, where you were with Oxlade-Chamberlain at a point where they weren't, as you say, the youngest at the club, and they certainly weren't anywhere near the oldest, or they get someone to buy more time who's 27. But I think there's an optimal age, and you're seeing that with where they buy Diaz. They pull like a 24-year-old, I think.
Who do you think's got the next level?
Especially when they think, as you say, they've got Jones coming through, that they've got Elliot as well coming through. I could see that being the age, and that's where Bellingham and maybe Gavi as well. I think you can't have too much potential, because do you win anything with kids?
I mean, Gavi would be, I mean, a phenomenal sign, but yeah, getting them out of Barcelona, just even with the financial issues that they're facing,
and the minimum fees,
feels difficult. So,
feels,
you know,
to Bellingham, doesn't it? Yeah. It feels like a lot more mature, even though he's a year younger.
Yeah, but I think the Curtis Jones one is interesting, because it does feel like a big season for Jones, because I think, you know, I've been someone who's been in his corner a lot of the time, and I actually think rightly so.
Absolutely.
For a lot of it.
But no, young players playing for Liverpool, they're exciting,
aren't they? But he does get a lot of stick. Yeah, he does get a lot of stick, Neil. Both at the match and across social media, you know, despite the things you've just said. But I do think, you know, they have obviously been working with him and developing him and stuff, but I think it's almost that tipping point now, that crunch point, where does he go on and become the footballer that they think he can be, or does he actually just become a decent Premier League footballer whose future maybe lies at an Aston Villa or somewhere else, because he's not quite the level that we're looking for.
I think Southampton away does him a world of favours, the performance, and also I think there's enough individual performances from last season where you're able to go.
Look at Porto. He's fantastic. I think there's lots of games. I think for him it's about, and it, sometimes, you know, he doesn't always get picked, so it's difficult to do it.
It's about linking the games up, isn't it?
But it's about linking them up and then showing almost that pattern of, you know, five or six games where your influence in football matches on a consistent basis at a high level. It's not the ones and twos, but again, difficult when you're only getting picked now and again.
I think I big season that with for him as well. You know, I'll be honest, because Porto fine, but obviously we swept aside Porto, and when we made them changes for the Southampton game, and you see the midfield, and Milner was fantastic first half, but Jones was brilliant throughout. You know, and I thought, and he plays the Villa game as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So I thought he went through the motions a bit in the Villa game, but then I was like, okay. I almost needed reminding with Jones, yes, there is a potentially really exciting young footballer in him there, because I always felt it was just do the simple thing, the boring thing almost, which with a young footballer, you want to be excited by him, don't you? And I've seen that with Elliot. I've had flashes, especially earlier on this season, I'm like, oh wow, he's going to be a really special footballer. And I've never felt that with Curtis. I feel like he's a good footballer, but I think he's really unlucky, because for the last 20 years, he'd have been a mainstay of a Liverpool team. Young Scouse lad, everyone would have been behind him, but we weren't absolutely elite. He's now playing with Thiago and Fabinho. You know, that's a level that he's really got to really work hard to get to.
I also think his natural instincts go against what the club want to do with him as well. They want to make him that more more safe footballer in terms of giving it sometimes and going and not maybe being as kind of as off the cuff as he probably liked to be. And I think his natural instincts are to be off the cuff and to try a shot from 25 yards, but actually Liverpool want him to be a bit more cautious, a bit more considerate. Do some of that stuff as well, but it's about picking and choosing your moment of when you do it.
He's got that Atkinson and the Kenny shouting at him for shooting, hasn't he? So.
Hey, tell you what, I'm nothing but supportive of Curtis Jones. He's never, ever, ever going to be a U for me, it is fair to say. I think he's potentially absolutely brilliant. Listen, everyone excited? Looking forward to the new season now.
Can't wait.
New signings, eh? It's amazing what they do. Big lads playing up front. It's the core of football. Hit the big man. Pick up the pits.
Well, lifted us in January, didn't it? You know, the Diaz thing picked us up in January. I mean, transfers, weirdly, because we're so bloody good. They don't never feel as important as they used to, because a transfer, you were hoping that you got a Suarez and they were going to transform your life into the one we already have now. Where transfers now is just, it's about prolonging this joy that we've currently got on the Liverpool team, and I'm all for £100 million centre forwards.
It's going to be prolonged. Liverpool are not going to hit the big man and pick up the bits, by the way. Let's be crystal clear about that. They're going to find a way to integrate him and still play brilliant stuff. That means that Liverpool can break 90 points, Liverpool can make Champions League finals, they can pick up cups. Nothing is stopping. This is rolling on. It's rolling all the way at least to 2026, where the manager's contract takes him, because that's his plan. And I think we're all on board with his plan. That's the Anfield Wrap. It's been Paul, it's been Ian, it's been Mike, and he's produced. Just can't wait, can you? So much to come. Sports Social Podcast Network.